Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Hey, how you
doing, man?
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh,
good morning, good morning. You are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Yes, you are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights, and we should stand up for our rights. We should fight for our rights. We should get justice and equality like anybody else should be able to do in this United States of America on this planet called Earth. Yes, good morning, Elaine. God bless you, Elaine. How are you on Facebook Live? God bless you and the family. I pray all is well with you. It's a beautiful day in our neighborhood on this wonderful May the 23rd, 2022. This is wonderful, fantastic, and phenomenal Monday, where we talk about everything that has to do with civil rights and constitutional rights and human rights. And there's a lot of civil rights violations right now. The work is never done. There's always something that we have to fight for. And if we don't stand up for something, we'll fall for anything. And that's what we're not going to do, okay? Not in 2022, because we know what we need to do, okay? We need to galvanize. We need to stay together. We need to work together, talk together, pray together, laugh together, cry together. And when we do that, we become a wonderful family in this nation, in this world, in these United States of America. And we can do great things. We can move mountains. We can move mountains. We've been moving mountains, and we're going to keep on doing it because God knows why we're standing up for what we're standing up for. God knows. And we're going to talk about that later when I give you the scripture of the week. The scripture of the week is going to come out of the book of Exodus. And Exodus is where Moses had to set the people free. God gave Moses an assignment. God has given me an assignment. God has given you an assignment. And that's part of your civil, constitutional, and human rights. Well, anyway, I got to tell you, I've been very concerned because it's coming up as the anniversary of George Floyd's death, which was May the 25th of 2020, which ignited historical protesting around the world, not just in the United States, around the world. They were protesting for George Floyd. What's up, Pastor Ramsey? What's going on? Pastor Ramsey, call in, man. Call into the show. Oh, yeah, by the way, for all those people who want to call into the show, you want to listen to the show, you want to ask a question to our extremely, very important special guest that we have on today, I can't wait to bring on Britta, who has worked for the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department as a captain, and she worked there for 25 years. So now she is, hey, Wanda, how are you? God bless you. Okay. She has worked there for 25 years, and now she's running for the chief of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. She's going to be our very special guest today. And not only that, we're going to have some good questions for her. Like, I want to know what's going to happen with the crime, because right now, Villanueva, or I can't remember his name, but he's the chief, and there's been a lot of scrutiny with his leadership, and there's been a lot of bad talk about him and his practices for as the chief and the corruption that's surrounding him. And it's been on the news. It's been at the County Board of Supervisors. It's not new. So let's see what Britta has in store for the future of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. If she is on this election coming up on June the 6th, she is on the ballot, and if she is chosen to be the chief, I think there's going to be a changing of the guard and a changing of the system up under the new sheriff. So that'll be our special guest. But before we go there, I can't stop thinking about the anniversary of George Floyd. I was in Brunswick, Georgia, and I was there for the Ahmaud Arbery incident that happened. And then I led a march there, then I got back to my hotel room. I was exhausted. I was tired. And then I got a phone call and said, hey, quick, turn the news on. Turn the news on. It was in Minnesota, Indianapolis, Minnesota. And they said, you know, George Floyd is being killed by a cop. And I turned it on, and sure enough, his knee was on George Floyd's neck, and I was furious. I wanted to be standing right there, but I knew I couldn't. But the big thing is my people said, look, man, we got to get you out there right now. And I was on a plane hours later, just a few hours later on my way, and I went to Indianapolis, Minnesota. I met with the Floyd family and all the people there that were fighting. And, of course, we did a march, and it was way over 5,000 people. And I want to thank the Not Messing Around militia for being there in solidarity and making sure that everybody was protected. And it was a beautiful – it was bad that George Floyd was murdered, but it was beautiful how all the people came together from all nationalities, from all over the world. Some people flew in just to come to what was going on there with George Floyd. I was honored beyond words to be a part of something that was so much more gigantic and enormous than me. And I want to praise God and give him all the glory for the guidance and the direction and the leadership that I was under, because it was a mission. And I didn't plan it, but God already knew what was going to happen with George Floyd, which ignited one of the most historical protests in the history of America and maybe even the world. Good morning, Mrs. Gloria Majors. How are you this morning? Wonderful, wonderful blessings to you. God bless you. Thank you for joining us on Facebook Live. If you want to join us on Facebook Live, good morning. Good morning, Terry. How are you this morning? God bless you. If you want to join us on Facebook Live, go to Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook Live. Eddie Justice Jones Jr. Tell all your friends. Share it with a lot of people, because we're going to get deeper than the ocean, higher than the mountain, and swifter than the rivers. Okay? We're going there today. We're going there. We go there every week, and we do it in love. We do it in education, and we do it in blessings, that we will be uplifted and given some good food that we can digest. Speaking of food, we're going to just talk a little bit about the food shortage that is approaching America. You see it already. You see stuff popping off the shelf. Just this morning, they were talking about Similac, the baby milk for infants, you know. There's not enough milk. But however, one of the plants shut down because of contamination, but a lot of plants have been shutting down lately. Food places have been burning down around the world, around the United States. So we better fasten our seatbelts and get ready for the ride, because if you're not ready, you're going to have to get ready. And that might be, hey, Minister Moni Scott, good morning. How are you? Look, get your water supply, get your food supply in order. Because when that day comes that you can't go to the grocery store unless your numbers are even, or you have an odd number day, and that's when you can go to the grocery store, and it's going to be protected by security, protected by the National Guards. It'll be martial law over the United States of America when the food shortage and the drought comes, and it will, and it's on the way, but they're not telling you, but I'm telling you early, so you can get to work, okay? Get your flashlights. I know it is. It really is. When you go in the store, it is scary seeing you. Good morning, senior. How are you? When you go in the store and you don't see any Rice Krispies on the shelf, or you don't see any peanut butter on the shelf, or you got to go to the meat department and there's barely any meat, you know something is going on. And it's not just because of coronavirus, okay? This is talked about in the Bible. If you read your word, you'll see it's talking about what's getting ready to happen, okay? And it's going down right now. So I say this, get you some water supply, stock you up some beans and some rice, and, you know, real talk. Yes, Moni, real talk, Minister Moni, real talk. I'm just trying to get your flashlights, get your two-way radios, because I'm going to tell you, if they shut these cell phones down, and they can make the cell phones where only the president, the government, and the county and the state can use them, and the people won't be able to use their cell phones. So if you don't have a wind-up radio, go get one, because wind-up radios, you don't have to plug them in, and they stay strictly on the news of what's going on with whatever the pandemic is, okay? We already know what a pandemic is like, and we already saw as an exercise what the government can do. They can tell you can't go out of your house. For a whole year and a half, nobody can leave their house, okay? So if the government can do that, they're just practicing on what they really going to do, okay? They ain't playing with the 5Gs. They're not playing with this whole thing. And you don't have to believe me, but I'm going to tell you this. They got a stadium full of black coffins, plastic black coffins. They've had them there for years, okay? And they started using them during the coronavirus pandemic. They used a lot of them. Millions of people died. Millions, okay? You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And, yeah, the gas shortage, oh, gosh, don't even get me talking about the gas prices, okay, because they're making their money back from whatever happened when the gas stations, when people were stuck in the house and couldn't go get gas or whatever it was, the gas companies are making all their money back. The grocery stores are making all their money back. It's all good. So don't just stack up on water. No, stack up on food, stack up on, alcohol, betadine, peroxide, all those things that can help you in a situation where you can't go out and get it, okay? And for those who don't know, you can go to the surplus stores and you can get MRIs, MREs, I'm sorry, not MRI, MREs. Good morning. Who? Party, okay. All right, welcome to the house, Party. We're partying with civil rights right now. Civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And on our show, there's no smoking guns. It's a real deal, Holyfield. And we bring you real, true information. Anyway, I'm going to close out on this, but I want to say this. Get ready, get ready, get ready, because there's a new cup of coffee being brewed every second. And if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready when it comes to this shortage of food that's coming. When this drought comes, and it's already here, it's already, you see it. I don't have to, you know, go out and go look for some Similac or some Infamil right now, and you're not going to find none on the shelves. They're just now flying some into the country right now. Okay? There's been a shortage of baby milk. There's been a shortage of certain foods, meats, and certain foods. And don't play with the toilet paper. You saw what happened the last time with toilet paper, and you know you don't want to get caught without no toilet paper in your house. And people ordered toilet paper. I mean, pounds of toilet paper. And then you couldn't even get it. You couldn't get it at Costco. You couldn't get it at Ralph's. You couldn't get it anywhere. There was a shortage of toilet paper. Okay, canned foods and other non-perishable foods. That's what you need to get. That's what you need to get, canned food and other non-perishable foods. And if you own property, you own your own land, you got your own backyard, you better start growing your onions and cilantro and corn and tomatoes and lettuce and cucumbers and everything else that you want to grow in your garden. Because good morning, Gloria Majors. God bless you. That's the future, y'all. If you grow it, you know what you're getting. Reddish, you can grow all of that. I'll tell you right now, I have some collard greens growing, some mustard greens growing, some green onions, some cilantro growing. Right now, I got some tomatoes going. Right now. I'm going to be eating out of my garden. I'm not going to be just waiting on whatever to happen. Get your garden going now. If you never had one before, it's not that hard. All you got to do is go out and get the seeds, get you some soil, till it a little bit, drop them seeds in there, and watch it happen. All right? Without further ado, we're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Next Monday will be too late to celebrate the anniversary of the death of George Floyd. But we are celebrating the anniversary and the death of George Floyd's death, which sparked ignited a historical protest around the world. So I'm glad that Chauvin is in prison for 22 years, but if you ask me, he should get life without the possibility of parole for committing a premeditated murder on television. He had already been, when he was first trained with this thing that he was doing on people's neck, he was trained to do that. And he took his training out into the streets, and he did it on 9 other people besides George Floyd. If you don't know about it, you can look it up and read it, because I looked it up and I read it. He did it 9 times on 9 other people, and there were plenty of complaints on him. And he lived in an environment in that police department where the blue didn't, they had the blue whatever. They don't tell on each other, okay? And that's why he got away with it for so long. But when he did it to George Floyd, God said, hallelujah, praise God, this is your last time. And it was his last time. Unfortunately, someone had to die. A great, phenomenal man named George Floyd, who actually fought in the community to get people off drugs and keep kids in school. He was doing things like that. He made his mistakes in life like any other human being, and that even includes me, because nobody's perfect. But he got himself together, and he was on a whole new groove. Well, I could go on. I just had to get that off this morning and shout that out this morning. George Floyd, the anniversary is May 25th. Whatever you're doing on May the 25th, just stop and take a moment to think about what George Floyd went through to change history for everybody in America. God bless y'all. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Without further ado, let's get in our co-producer, Clarence M. Allen. Good morning, Brother Clarence M. Allen. What's going on, brother?
I know some places and I see some faces. I got good connections, baby. My directions, what people say, that's okay. They don't bother me, 'cause I'm on the world's greatest Monday morning blog talk show, the Eddie Justice blog talk radio show. Good morning, Pastor Eddie. Good morning to my co-producers. Good morning to my co-host. Especially good morning to all our listeners throughout the nation and around the world. Good morning to our special guest. We are voting chef to be Britta Steinbrenner. She will be in the house today. You know, I met her, Pastor Eddie, at the Southern California
yes.
Ceasefire Committee. She came into the community
yes.
with her pitch. Her pitch was community engagement. Her community was changing how the sheriff department operate with these gangs within the sheriff department. She was talking about
mm-hmm.
improving several stations that are problematic to those communities. So I'd be, you know, glad to hear about her. Thank you for having me once again, Pastor J.D. I'm ready.
Oh, it's an honor and a pleasure, Brother Clarence. Without further ado, let's get our other co-producer, our real professor, and then our real professor, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show, co-producer Professor Reams. How are you on this wonderful Monday?
Good morning, Pastor Jones, and good morning, the regulator, and good morning to my fellow co-hosts and to the co-producers. I'm doing just fine because, once again, we're starting our Mondays off with the best Blog Talk radio program in the land, and now we're going to get to not only hearing the real deal Holyfield, but also the real deal that God has for us with our plan and his plan to move forward. So with that, good morning, everybody.
Professor
Reams. Welcome to the show. And without further ado, our health and wellness specialist, a holistic health doctor in her own right, a.k.a. she's not a doctor, but I'm calling her a doctor because she knows a lot about holistic health, herbs, and how to stay healthy, my sister, Vera Jones. Welcome to the show, Vera. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Eddie. Good morning, Clarence, Professor Reams, all the co-hosts, and everyone that's listening. How are you today? Because I am doing wonderful.
Amen.
Dr.
Amen.
Granny
praise
B's
God.
In the
Welcome
house.
Dr. Granny B. Now, without
amen.
Further ado, amen, amen. Without further ado, we're going to get another one of our co-hosts who's in charge of poetry and motion. She always has the best poems in the whole wide world. Let's get on here, Mrs. Linda Goldie. Welcome to the show, Ms. Linda Goldie. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm challenged a lot of ways. I'll just put it that way.
Well, you know what? You know, honesty is the best policy, and I got to tell you, each one of us are probably challenged with something. Maybe not the same thing as you, but something. And we're going to talk about that on the show. I can't wait to hear some of your poetry, and I can't wait to come back to you to talk about whatever it is that you're challenged about. Everybody say good morning to Mrs. Linda Goldie, Poetry in Motion.
Mr. Goldie!
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, all you wonderful people.
It's such an honor to have you on this morning. Okay, without further ado, it is time to, I really believe this is our guest. Caller in the 818-614 area code, are you there? Are you there? Good morning.
I am here, Pastor Eddie. I am here. This is Britta Steinbrenner.
Mrs. Steinbrenner, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. What do you think about that, Mrs. Steinbrenner?
I support that 110%, and I really liked the way you opened up the show, where you talk about talking together, working together, praying together, community, communicating, really staying together. That whole concept is my community policing plan, because we really have to unite the community with law enforcement. And you set the tone for my presentation and how I can talk to all of your viewers. I was just, it was a perfect intro. And I really want to thank you and Mr. Clarence Allen for inviting me to your show today.
It's an honor beyond words. Clarence, would you like to say a few words to Mrs. Steinbrenner before we get into this interview?
Yes, Sheriff to be Steinbrenner, you know, me and my wife, we're up in the big sky country, the state of Montana. And so Friday we were going through our ballots. We got you checked off. If I, you know, although you're the sheriff to be, I hate to say this, but if I had 1,000 more ballots, I would mail them in for you also. But we have to keep an eye on, you know, I appreciate when someone is bold enough all alone to come out to communities, no staff, no nothing, and to state their case, state their ideas, their agendas, put a spotlight on the problems within an organization or an institution or a corporation, and say,
right,
this is what's been happening, this is what needs to change, and this is what I plan to do. And when you came in Southern California ceasefire, and you didn't have but a few minutes, you covered a lot of area in just a few minutes because there was a lot to cover at that meeting. You mm-hmm. really impressed me, moved me. You made me a believer.
Why, thank you. Amen. And I have to say that when I was there, the entire community embraced me, the whole group. They listened. They were interested. And it's the reception from the beginning. And after the meeting, we stayed after for another hour and were talking, at answering questions. It was very heartfelt. And that is the motivation that keeps me on this path to continue down that path, because I'm here for the community. You're here to support me. And that's how this is all going to work in the future moving forward.
Amen. Now, before you get started, Mrs. Steinbrenner, I want to say a mm-hmm. shout out to Summis Lynn Robinson and Professor Lynn Robinson. Thank you for joining us out of your extremely busy schedule. You're always all over the world and sending, doing so much for God. I want to shout out Summis Professor Lynn Robinson right now. Also, Annette Williams. Annette, we want you to call into the show because, Annette, God bless you. Love you, too. Want you to call into the show, Annette Williams. We need to hear from you this morning. Oh no, absolutely honored beyond words. As we on faith, if you want to call the show and you want to ask a question, you can dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. Write down your question and call in, and you can talk to the future chief of the Sheriff's Department to be, Mrs. Steinbrenner, our exclusive special guest, who will be talking about the Sheriff's Department's future and what her ideas are for a new Sheriff's Department, because we need something new, okay? There's a lot going on right now. As you know, I have some questions for you. But before we go all the way there, Sheriff Steinbrenner, please do an introduction on yourself. Give us some bio background about you and all that bring us up to date. Go right ahead. Take the floor. Oh, yeah, before you take the floor, I apologize. On June the 6th, you guys can vote. She's on the ballot. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm also going to say this. We all need to get out and vote. Everybody, don't talk about voting, okay? Don't be about vote. I mean, be about voting. Don't just talk about voting. Be about voting, okay, because your vote counts. And don't forget how many people died for you to have the right to vote, okay? So exercise your right and get out and vote. And here's our special guest, Sheriff Steinbrenner. Take the floor. Give us a bio, brief bio about yourself. Go ahead.
Well, good morning to all, and thank you very, very much. So I retired as a captain with the LA County Sheriff's Department, and I just have one correction. I actually have 35 years of service with the department, and throughout those 35 years, I had an exemplary service record, and that means no discipline, no shooting, no lawsuits, because I love this department, and I love being able to help people. And so I worked the jails, that's mandatory. I worked several patrol stations, and then I worked several specialized units. And I was also the incident commander for many large-scale events, specifically when the civil unrest occurred in 2020 downtown, because I was responsible for building security and just the security of all the protesters. And I have to share with you that there were open lines of communication between the protest leaders, because my My responsibility was to make sure nobody was hurt or injured. And because of that relationship, we didn't have any force. We didn't deploy any less lethal. We didn't have any incidents. Nobody was injured. And I'm very proud of that because I understand the reason for the protests and voices have to be heard. But everybody did it very respectfully. And I can only speak for my, for LA County, what I experienced during that time frame. So while I was working, I raised four children, two that are in the military. One is now retired. One is, remains active duty. And then I have two that are in the medical field. Then at the age of 48, I went back to school to get my master's, and well, actually my bachelor's and then my master's degree. And I really believe that education is very important because as adult learners, you stop growing if you stop learning. And so that's I support anyone who wants to continue their education. So, and then I'm running to be the next sheriff because our department lacks leadership, a vision, and a strategic plan for the future. And I think many of our viewers could agree that we're tired of the scandal, the negativity that comes from and with the current sheriff to the department. And we as the public, as employees, as residents of LA County, we deserve better, mm-hmm. and we deserve to have the culture and the sheriff's department focus on bridging the gap between law enforcement and the community. So in a nutshell, that's...
What a powerful introduction. Can we just, everybody on the show, just let's just give her a big hand right now. Let's give her a big hand for that great introduction. Wow. What a track record. I'm gonna call you. I mean, wow! What an accomplished person you are, and what a great job, especially during the riots. And trust me, I was in Georgia with the Ahmaud Arbery out there where they were protesting. I was with George Floyd out there where they were protesting. I won't even forget when they were protesting for Rodney King. I was mm-hmm. in the midst of that too. And so we've had some things happen, and I think the Sheriff's Department handled a lot of things well. However, under the I've been in Lee Baca's office. I've had a tour of the Men's Central Jail, and I got to be honest with you, because if you look up the case of John Thomas Horton III, Sheriff Steinbrenner, John Thomas Horton III, if you could Google that on your phone real quick, you know that that was a young man who was beat to death by the 3000 gang, who had the barcodes on the back of their neck, and they said that he hung himself, but really he was beat to death by the Sheriff's Department. And, of course, we took that case all the way to the Supreme Court, the Ninth Circuit Court, then the Supreme Court, and, of course, we won, and they proved that what really happened really happened. So as a new sheriff, could you talk a little bit about, if you don't mind, some of those deaths that took place at that time in a Men's Central Jail, and then after that, you answer that question, tell us what you want to do about changing the Men's Central Jail. Go right ahead. Take the floor, Sheriff.
Well, you understand the Sheriff's Department has the responsibility for the care, the custody, and the security of everyone in LA County. And then one of our primary mm-hmm. goals and responsibilities is to care for the inmates that are in our custody. And the Office of Inspector General, they did some surveys and some audits. And from 2016 to 2021, the in-custody deaths mm-hmm. within our facility have doubled. We had 55 in-custody deaths back in 2021. And so I will tell you from the get-go, I want to demolish Men's Central Jail, and I want to rebuild it, and I want it to be more of a rehabilitation, a step-down position facility where individuals that are in custody, they go to the new facility, and they get all of the services, the wraparound services that they need so that once they're released, they can succeed out in the community. And that could be social services, that could be counseling, that could be job placement, because there's so many nonprofit organizations out there that want to work with us, that want to partner with us and want to succeed in helping inmates and those that are incarcerated succeed once they get released. And if you talk to anyone, anyone who was an inmate or a former inmate or an employee, nobody wants to go and work at Men's Central Jail. So you really have to change the whole process of how we incarcerate individuals, because not everyone needs to go to jail. Many need rehabilitative services. They need somebody who cares, who's invested in them, and gives them a sense of hope. And we're not doing that. We talk about, well, we'll get them shelter and we'll get them food, but they need somebody to motivate them, to keep them on track, have a social worker, a counselor, somebody that's invested in them. So,
Sheriff Steinbrenner, yes. There was a person there, a summit, and Professor Lynn Robin, she's a professor at a university. Her question is, it sounds great about what you're talking about, but will you have the funds, the financial funds, to demolish the Men's Central Jail and rehabilitate it? Will funding be available for you? Could you please share that to our listeners, please?
Yes. Yeah, so if we look back to June of 2018, the Board of Supervisors dedicated $42.2 billion to fund this new jail clinic. And I remember very distinctly that our custody executives were working with them on the blueprints and working towards building this new facility. And then it got stopped. And then the Board of Supervisors went over to Care First, Jails Last. I want to, if elected and when elected, sit down with the Board of Supervisors and bring back this plan. So they already have funding set aside. I know that over the years, 4 years later, prices have increased. So I will ask for the board's support, financial. I will look at my budget to see where I can add to supporting this. I'll look at bond measures. I'll look at fundraisers. Donations, but this is and honestly, I will also look to the feds, to the federal government, because they have funding. The biggest problem that I've seen from this sheriff is there's no plan, there's no blueprint, there's no long term that details how everything's going to go, how much it's going to cost, what the end effect is going to be, what the staffing levels are. You can't just ask for money. You have to give them a blueprint, a plan, a proposal of how it's all going to come together. And I will have that. And I will be very active. I will have a task force that will pursue the finances in order to subsidize the rebuilding of Men's Central Jail.
Now, Sheriff Steinbrenner, that sounds wonderful. Will you have a community sheriff's police board as well to help make decisions with what the Sheriff's Department is doing? Will you also have a community board who are listening to what the sheriffs are doing and what they're going to do and having a voice in what can be done in the future in the community? Could you answer that question,
yes,
please?
Yes, and thank you for bringing up that topic. I think having a community task force is extremely critical and vital to how well we do our job. And I want to have a community task force that is assigned to each patrol station. I have 23 patrol stations. But then I also want a community advisory panel made up of different professionals and community leaders and actual residents that we meet, whether quarterly, monthly, depending on the topic, so that I get everyone's input and voice, because I am here for you. And I need to know what are the events, what is of concern to you out in the community. And with the Men's Central Jail and rebuilding that, absolutely. This is not just me. I have the vision, but I'm going to surround myself with the experts that have the ability to bring in different ideas, because that's how this is going to be successful. And I may miss something that somebody else feels is important, and it all has to be analyzed. Mm-hmm. And I will share with you, the clergy unit is one area that I'm also going to be expanding, because to have that interfaith religious support, whether it's for the community, mm-hmm. whether it's for law enforcement, is extremely critical, and they will also be part of this task force.
Now, Sheriff Steinbrenner, you know I'm a pastor, right?
Yes.
So I'm already volunteering myself for your sheriff's chaplain department, for the sheriff's department.
Well, thank you, and there's no turning back because I will lean on many of you. I have been very blessed and very fortunate to have met many pastors, reverends, throughout my year of campaigning. And if I can, please give a shout-out to Pastor Cagle, who introduced me to Ceasefire.
Let's do that right now. I agree with you. Hey, Pastor Cagle, wherever you are, I know you're probably listening to the show right now. I want to shout out Ceasefire, and I want to shout you out, Pastor Cagle, and I look forward to getting back with you real soon. We were shouting you out for all the good work that you're doing. Also, I want to say thank you, Summit Professor Lynn Robinson, for stopping from doing her elections and everything at the university and graduations and all that stuff. So I want to shout out Summit Professor Lynn Robinson. Thank you for stopping in and sharing your words and even asking a question. I want to say good morning to Evangelist Virginia Valentine on Facebook Live. Good morning, Evangelist. I always see your wonderful musical, gospel musical little stuff on Facebook, and we need that uplifting music to keep us, you know, the five C's, cool, calm, collected, composed, and compassion as we walk throughout this thing called life. You know, some good spiritual music is very uplifting, and it makes you feel good. You know, so I love good, wonderful gospel music. I just love it. We need it. But anyway, Sheriff Steinbrenner, there is a crime problem in Los Angeles, California, and the Sheriff's Department has been dealing with this problem for many years. What will be your attack? What will be your execution on curbing crime and stopping crime in the Los Angeles County?
So we've seen the increase in crime over these last 3 years especially. So we have to look at a multi-pronged approach. And I have several solutions, and that is improving our tactics, making sure that we are having modern policing techniques for the modern problems that we're encompassing. So I'm going to attack crime head on, and I'm going to have multiple crime task forces. I'm going to have reallocate my resources to make sure that they're being efficiently used, and then also monitor the crime trends and share that information with the communities. I'm going to have new and approved partnerships with the residents and the business community. One of the things that we're lacking is a high visibility patrol of our deputies out in the community. Right now, you hardly ever see the deputies, and I want them engaged. I want them to take notice of what's taking place in the community. I want them on bike patrols, foot patrols, because when you're out there, it's a deterrent. People will think twice, I can't commit this crime because look at all the law enforcement. They're protecting the community. Smash and grabs. If you think back to December, we had like 11 businesses and over $330,000 worth in merchandise was stolen. And these are from small business owners, and they suffer the greatest loss because it's very hard for them to recoup what's stolen. And then I want to have the different hate crime task forces to combat hate crimes that affect all ethnicities in the LGBTQIA communities. You know, we're here for everyone. And then we're very well aware of Prop 47 and Prop 57. Prop 47 increased a felony charge. If you steal property, it used to be $450. Now they raised the threshold to $950. I want to lower that threshold back to 450 so that people understand you can't steal from other people, and there has to be clear direction on what this proposition talks about. Same thing with Prop 57, the early release, the no bail. I really, if I can rehabilitate individuals, especially for misdemeanor charges, I'm 100% support that. But if you're going to commit heinous crimes, assaults, homicides, robberies, burglaries that affect other people and their lives and their livelihood, no, that's you need to go to jail. And in jail, we're going to try to rehabilitate you there as well. So my biggest thing is you never give up on people. We always have to keep reinvesting. And I do believe it will pay off. But it's really developing the relationships with the business, with the communities, having the captains involved at the different stations, having town hall meetings, having a social media platform where we can push out information that is easy to access so that the communities know what is going on, to have the town hall meetings quarterly, monthly, to share information. And they don't have to be very long, but they have to be very organized, and here's the problem, here's how we're going to resolve it. And then getting involved with our youth. I really believe that there's a gap between our youth of today and us in our age category. We need role models. We need mentorship. And I want deputies to engage maybe athletic programs with our youth, be a role model, be a mentor, help with after-school programs, mm-hmm. go to school events so that they see us and there's a relationship.
Well, now, Sheriff Steinbrenner, I am really enjoying this, and pretty soon we're going to go into some questions from the co-producers and the co-producers and producers of the show. But before we do that, I want to ask you a question. The homeless problem has been and still is completely out of control. What are your plans to regulate the homeless problem in Los Angeles County?
So if I can just give a little bit of background. So in 2020, we were looking at about 66,000 individuals that were experiencing homelessness. And on February 24th, I was part of the homeless count that took place downtown. And I really saw it for myself. And it's terrible because 25% suffer from mental illness. About 27% of our homeless suffer from substance or alcohol abuse. And many people believe that it's a law enforcement problem, but it's a societal problem. And we really need the courts, the state, the county, the municipal governments to work together to provide policy that has a meaningful effect so that I, in law enforcement, can do my job. Because as the sheriff, as part of the law enforcement, we're very limited on what our capabilities and what our authorities are. So within my authority as sheriff, I want to contribute and I want to have a positive impact. So I'm going to work with everyone. But my biggest, where I have the biggest impact is when homeless individuals who commit crimes are in my care and custody. So I want to work with the Board of Supervisors, and I want to convert some of our county facilities in a mental health and substance abuse rehabilitation centers, and that will help rehabilitate them and hopefully give them the medical care that they need, because sometimes they may not be able to live a good life back out on the street, so we need to have some type of care for them. But then I'm going to have those complete wraparound services, as I shared before, counselors, jobs, training, placement. And then I'm going to have the professionals there in that will come, and they'll work with them. They'll train them. They'll give them the care, the mental, the counseling, mental, dental, medical care. And, you know, you have to, some of these individuals, they want to live out on the streets because they don't want to follow the rules or they don't want to be tested. So at my patrol stations, I'm going to have mental evaluation teams that are going to be available 24/7 daily to go and address and work with these individuals to find them placement. And it's we have to focus on our stations because you can manage and you control that area. So the minute an issue comes up where we have a homeless individual or an encampment, that we address it there within the station instead of allowing it to, you know, grow and fester, because it is growing. But we really have to work together.
You're right. To all of our guests that are to all of our listeners out there, wherever you are in the United States of America, if you're in Chicago, Detroit, Atlanta, Colorado, North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, Alabama, Los Angeles, California, San Francisco, Cincinnati, wherever you are, thank you for joining us on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. I appreciate you guys every week. For all the people that are listening in China, Russia, Israel, Canada, and Turkey, and all the other places in the world, thank you guys for listening, too. I see your stats every week that you are joining us. We appreciate you. Hopefully you are being educated. Hopefully you're getting knowledge and wisdom and understanding on something that can be helpful to each and every one of us. It is your human constitutional rights that we are fighting for each and every day, and we will not stop until we get justice and equality for all. One Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Without further ado, I want to get my Talana Jones, my daughter, in the studio. Words of wisdom. Good morning, Talana. How are you this morning? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dad. Good morning to everyone listening and to all our co-producers, co-hosts, to everybody on Facebook. Shout out to all of the Jones family. And happy Monday, everybody. Excuse my tardiness.
Let's give a shout out to Talana. Good morning, Talana.
Good morning, Talana, my butterfly.
Talana Jones.
Good morning, Talana.
Now, we're going to go back to our special guest, Sheriff Britta Steinbrenner, and she is going to be, she's on the ballot to be the chief of the Sheriff's Department. I mean, she's on the ballot right now, so on June the 6th, who do you want to be? Oh, by the way, that brings me to this question, Sheriff Steinbrenner. Why do you want, now I want to say his name right, is it Villanueva? Is that his name?
Yes, Alex. Yes.
Alex Villanueva, why do you want him out of office? Why do you want to take his job over? What is it about his type of policing that you're not happy with? Go right ahead. Take the floor.
So if you look at the lack of attention to the increases in crime, he talks about call the Board of Supervisors because we don't have enough funding or staffing. We have to reform mm-hmm. our jails. They have to be put into state-of-the-art facilities. Since he's taken office, the jail system has been neglected, and we have to work on rehabilitation and, as I shared before, converting some of our facilities to help provide the help that these individuals need. Addressing the deputy gangs, and very, very important, is I want to rebuild our problematic patrol stations into environmentally and community-friendly stations, and I'm going to start with East LA Sheriff Station. We need to rebuild our relationships with the Board of Supervisors and the Civilian Oversight Commission and our community leaders to bring back the transparency. And I will testify before the Civilian Oversight Commission, but I really want to focus on the community-first approach for law enforcement, and that is with community policing being the cornerstone of my administration. I started with the department in 1987, and that's what I grew up under. Sherman Block, mm-hmm. everything was community policing. And now there's so much scandal and negativity. This is not the department I grew up in, and I just can't in good faith walk away from it and just see its continued demise. So many a times, you know, you want to complain and you're not happy with it, and I don't want to be one of those mm-hmm. bystanders that complains. I want to take action. And being a female with a different mindset, I'm changing the culture because I'm going to get rid of the nepotism, the favoritism, and the good old boy syndrome, which still exists to this day.
Wow. Okay, without further ado, I want to say good morning to Cassandra Romero. Thank you, Cassandra, for joining us on the show on Facebook Live. Appreciate that. Share with whoever. Share with your family. Share with your friends. Sheriff Steinbrenner, I have another question before we go to our panel.
Yes.
There's a lot of young African-American males who would like to become sheriffs, but for some reason they're afraid. What will you do to bring on more African-Americans to the Sheriff's Department? How will you help to – what will you put out there for them to feel like it's okay to come and be a sheriff? Please give us your plan.
So this all begins with the hiring process. Right now the sheriff is limiting all the hiring to just L.A. County residents. And we need to go, we need to address our military bases, we need to do out-of-state hiring. And when I came onto the department, we used to have study sessions, training sessions that could prepare you for the written exam, for the physical agility. I want to make sure that we offer those services. But I'm going to have a recruitment team that is diverse, that addresses all the ethnicities, so that they and all the minority groups, so that they can go and reach out to those that are interested, and let them know from them personally what it's like to have a career in law enforcement, because it's a career. You're a public servant, and you have to like and love people. But I really want to encourage, and I want to have that mentorship, because it starts in high school. I want to reach out to the high schoolers, to college campuses, to let them know, here are options. Here's a wonderful career, and here's how you go about it. Here's all the hiring requirements. Here's the mentorship. I will have deputies that could be mentors, role models for others. But I need to go out into the community and really gain their trust and let them know there's so many options in law enforcement. But that's going to change once I change the negative attitude that people have towards law enforcement. And then once that changes and people can see that we're respected and we're credible, I think that will have more of an emphasis where people want to join the department. But I'm going to do everything I can on my end to get people motivated to want to have a career in law enforcement. But it starts with the recruitment process.
All right. I want to thank you so much for sharing that information. To everybody out there, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. There's the real deal, Holyfield. There's no smoking gun. I want to shout out a good friend from elementary school, middle school, and high school, too, Alita Frazier. Just shouting you out, Alita. It's so good to see you on the show. Our exclusive special guest is Sheriff Britta Steinbrenner, who has been on the Sheriff's Department for over 30 years, who is now running for chief of the Sheriff's Department on June the 6th. She's on the ballot. Get out there and vote. If you want to see a change in the Sheriff's Department, this is the young lady that's going to do it, and I'm going to be so happy to be on her chaplain, the Sheriff's chaplain team, and be a part of going out there praying for the community and praying for the sheriffs and praying for everybody else. Hey, what's up, Alita? God bless you and your family. I am so happy to have you on today, Sheriff Steinbrenner, because you are opening up ears, because there's a lot of listeners who are listening to you right now. And without further ado, before we go any further, thank you for sharing your hiring. Good morning, Metro. How are you? Welcome to the show. Thank you for sharing your hiring ideas. I want to ask you, though, you said the recruitment team will go to high schools, colleges. How about will they go in the community and neighborhoods in South Central and places where people might not get to the high school or wherever and they still want to become a sheriff? Will you also go into the communities, East L.A., South Central L.A., and everywhere else in the community?
Yes, because L.A. County is my entire community, so, and I don't want to leave anyone out. But that would be done through job fairs. That would be done through community days, national days, days of celebration where we can put up a booth and have all of my recruitment material and several of my deputies out there recruiting, and even a sergeant and even a lieutenant, so they understand what it's like to have a managerial or a supervisory role. And then have the opportunity for them to ask questions or attend council meetings. There's so many ideas, and then meeting with the community leaders to find out what would be the best avenue. And workplaces,
COVID. Sheriff Steinbrenner, I apologize for interrupting so abruptly. Someone asked a question. They said, you know, hypothetically speaking, you were picked to be the sheriff tomorrow. They want to know, what would be your opening speech as the new chief of the Sheriff's Department? What would be your opening speech? Please take the floor, Sheriff Steinbrenner.
Thank you. Well, first and foremost, I would thank all of the residents of L.A. County for voting me into office. And those that did not vote for me, I will show you through action that I will have earned your support and vote. And then I would let them know what my goals, my vision, and my expectations are, and what my plans are for the first year, the 5 years, and 10 years moving forward, because the community needs to know the direction that we're going. And then I would put my plan together. I would be addressing all of my staff. I would be introducing my command team to the community. And then I will tell them to get ready, because I'm going to visit all of you I believe in communicating. I believe in being there within the community. And that's why you surround yourself with a diverse command team, that they can move your vision forward so that I can personally meet with the community. And I started grassroots. I started from the bottom and worked my way up. And there were many individuals that their support, their motivation showed me that I'm on the right track. And I need to go back and thank everybody for their support. So it's really, I'm going to be the sheriff for the people. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to be with you. And whether it's a small gathering, a large gathering, I'm willing to dedicate my time to be out there in the community so that I'm seen. I don't need any publicity for myself. I need publicity for the people, my community, my employees, and to really have it be a working relationship.
I want to thank you. Let's give a big hand for Sheriff Steinbrenner. Let's give her a big hand. She's been, you know, wow. You've been, Sheriff Steinbrenner, I'm not going to say you were on the grill, but, you know, you did answer. You were on the grill a little bit there.
It's okay. And that's, you need to do that. You need to know.
Amen. I just received one last question. I told them I'm through with questions now, but the one last question. People are concerned about gun control. They say that the gun situation is out of control. What do you have to say about gun control in Los Angeles County? Please take the floor, Sheriff Steinbrenner.
Well, I support gun control because there's too many guns on the street and too many lives being lost. You know, California, Los Angeles, we have some of the strongest gun laws in the county, but they have to be constantly reevaluated, and they do need to become stricter. It is so unfortunate, all the mass shootings, the school shootings that are occurring. I think this year alone we've had 26 mass shootings just in Los Angeles, California area, and that has to stop. And one thing that I really want to move forward is San Jose is one of the first cities in California that has a liability insurance clause where if you're a gun owner, you have to have liability insurance. And that's either through homeowner's insurance or renter's insurance. And I want to make sure that those that have guns in their home, because legally you may, but you need to have insurance, and you need to be trained, you need to be proficient, and that weapon needs to be stored and locked away properly. So I really want to – we have our state legislative unit within the department, and I want to increase that, the representation that we have, to go back and forth to Sacramento to be involved with the decision-making process and really take our experiences that we've had here, the lessons learned, and help to enhance and enforce those gun laws.
Okay, thank you. You have answered some very good questions on the show today. Now it's time to go to our executive board of the show, which is our co-producers and our co-hosts, and open the floor for some questions. And anybody on Facebook Live, if you have a question, just type your question in, and I'll get the question out for you. Or if you have something you want to say, you can dial 646-787-8064. Call in 646-787-8064, and you can talk to Sheriff Steinbrenner and ask her a short question or make a short statement. Without further ado, we're going to go straight to our professor, Professor Reams. Professor Reams, please. Now, I mean, there's a little noise in the background. Do me a favor. I don't know if that's paper or cooking eggs and bacon, but right now we're in the middle of a very important interview with a very important person who can make great, wonderful, phenomenal, and fantastic change for the future of the Sheriff's Department. So let's give her the respect due, and let's cut the noise down in the background. You can mute your phone out or whatever, but I want to hear her voice, and I want her to be able to answer these questions or listen to these statements made by the co-producer and the co-host. Thank you so much. Without further ado, Professor Reams, please take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Sheriff Steinbrenner?
I have both a question and a comment. First of all, thank you, Sheriff to be Britta Steinbrenner, for coming to the show. It's an honor to have you on. And the Sheriff's Department has had an interesting history here, because the first introduction has been some of the old TV shows, and also Sheriff John was a family favorite because he talked about laugh and be happy while the world is laughing with you. And so I was also impressed with the way that Kenny Hahn and Sherman Block tried to keep everything together. So my question is, what do you think? Why did the sheriff's department move away from community policing when it seemed as though it was working, and that I also had public service by working for the city of L.A., of which many of us were saying, why did you do what the sheriff's doing for the LAPD, especially when it was having some of its problems? So what do you think happened?
To be very honest, I think it's the lack of leadership. I think this position has become very politicalized, and a lot of the former sheriffs, they just got over their head. They trusted people that maybe they shouldn't have. They didn't have their finger on the pulse. They weren't paying attention. They were wooed, and they were engrossed with the politicians, with the life outside of running the sheriff's department. And you have to have leadership from the top down. You have to let your goals, your visions be known. And that wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just easier just to turn a blind eye. And then what I've seen in the promotional process over the years is favoritism. And it's not the person who's best suited for the job. It's, oh, you're my friend, or you're in a band, so let me just pick my friends out of the band. So a lot of the internal housekeeping has been moved to the side. And then you had individuals, there's no consequences, there were no role models, there was no mentorship taking place. So I think that was the start of it.
Well, Professor Reams, hold that thought for a second.
Yes.
Hold that thought for one second, Professor Reams. One moment. I want to shout out my high school buddy, William Shum. William Shum on Facebook Live. What's up, Will? How you doing, brother? And I also want to shout out Shirley Allen, my sister-in-law. I want to shout her out. Hey, Shirley, God bless you, and Eric. And without further ado, Professor Reams, please retake the floor. Do you have another question or statement for Sheriff Steinbrenner? Go right ahead.
One other question. Now, as far as looking at a modern policing technique, would you include having mental health specialists to take on some of the heavy 911? I know that there's been an issue of how, as you've mentioned before, that really the issue is more of a social problem, which is more of a symptom of a social problem. But as far as addressing some of the issues in the confrontation side, is it better? Would it be better to call 311, which is a mental health, as opposed to 911, for when there is an incident? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are I would like to enhance the mental evaluation team, because currently we have one deputy who wears polo shirt and slacks but is armed, and then we have the nurse clinician. And it's you never know how these situations end up, and so I want to make sure that the nurse clinician would be the first point of contact, but that off to the side there is a deputy who is armed who could step in if needed. But to augment that, I also want to make sure that I do more extensive training with all of my personnel, de-escalation training, techniques, verbal commands, being able to communicate with individuals, getting more information on mentally ill individuals, how, you know, a lot of the history behind it, how you help, just to make sure that my deputies are trained and better communicators and more professional. But I want I think there's a good partnership to have the nurse clinician and then law enforcement, because if something were to happen, there's that time response to get help there. And I also want to make sure that my 911 operators taking the calls are well versed and get as much information so that they can pass that information on to the responding units. And that's something that
Sheriff Steinbrenner?
Yes.
Can you hold that thought for one second? I apologize, but I think we have a question or someone's calling in. Hold that thought. Okay, caller in the 310, 977 area code. Are you there?
Official, you could be eligible for financial compensation.
Call in the 310-977 area code. Are you there?
You or a family member were a victim of abuse by an.
Okay, maybe that was not what I thought it was going to be. Anyway, you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. If you have a question, all you got to do is call in 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. And will there be specialized training for people that suffer from autism? Okay, question coming in. I got two questions coming from one in the text and one on Facebook Live. Let's do the one on Facebook Live first. And I want to thank you so much, Professor, for posing those two questions. They're very, very important. Amedra Dickey asked, would there be specialized training for people that suffer from autism? Like, can people that suffer from autism still get a job working for the Sheriff's Department? Go right ahead, Sheriff Steinbrenner. Please take the floor.
Thank you. So let me just address training in general, because whenever there's a budget crisis, the first thing to go from our department is training, and that is the first thing that is going to stay. We need continuous training. It starts in the academy, and it has to continue for our line personnel. And, yes, I want to bring in outside professors, medical experts, to help educate our deputies. And then also we do have the ADA where we can hire those that have some type of disability, and I want to focus on that, whether it's an internship, whether there's some administrative positions that we can put them in. But, yes, I want to open up that avenue.
Okay, Sheriff Steinbrenner, also Mrs. Dickey said, in case they're stopped by a person with autism is stopped by the Sheriff's Department, do you guys have special training in case they stop someone who's deaf, they can't say anything, and they're trying to reach for their card to let them know I'm deaf or I have autism or I have bipolar syndrome? What type of training will those officers get so they can understand if someone's having a mental health crisis when they pull them over?
Well, I want to make it known that regardless of who the individuals are, my personnel are going to be professional. We are not going to show favor either on either side, because the community needs to feel welcomed and secure when they're pulled over or stopped. But, yes, there will be additional training dealing with the mentally ill, those that are deaf, those that suffer from autism. And that's why I want to bring in the experts, so that they give us a different perspective. We have the body camera that are on. They'll be activated. Those, I'm going to do more audits on how my personnel are treating the public, so that we can use that as a lessons learned or grow, or maybe I see an employee that has an issue or a problem that I can address it right then and there instead of letting something fester. But I want the communities to rest assured that our traffic stops, or when we contact anyone in the community, it's going to be the same. We're going to be professional. We're going to be compassionate. We're going to be understanding. And if a crime takes place, then we're going to be very proactive to protect the community.
Okay. Now, I want to go to Clarence M. Allen. Clarence M. Allen, please take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Sheriff Steinbrenner? Go right ahead, Brother Clarence.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Ed. Once again, thank you, Sheriff B. Brenner, for coming aboard. I have like a combination of both, and it's real complicated and difficult, but when I look at the history of policing and sheriff in the United States, and when I look at the emancipation, when the slaves were free and police forces were created and established to watch over those who were free, when we look at the Black Codes, we look at the Jim Crow, and it appears still even today there's a culture and system where there's a difference of attitude, outreach, and even conduct when it comes from policing from a white community to in our communities of color. What will you do to create, because even today it seems like there's not a trust there's a lack of communication, a lack of rapport between many communities of color, between the sheriff and even the police department. What will you do to improve an outreach where we can have build that bridge of communication, that bond, where say if a sheriff is coming up the street, two guys are walking, they can just stop and have just a natural communication to get to learn who each other is, you know, without the profiling agendas and the arrest agendas. And so, you know, I'd like to know, do you have any kind of ideas in that area? Because right now, today, even when we look at, there's still a lot of shootings, you know, in the community. There's still some police shootings in certain departments. What will you do to help implement that kind of community involvement between the sheriff and the community?
So that's an excellent question, because I'm going to put you on the spot, because I'm going to reach out to the clergy. I'm going to reach out to the elected community members to work with me. So I have to regain your trust. I have to build that relationship with you so that you can support me as I go into the community with my team to change the mindset of law enforcement. That's number one. But I want to make sure for all of my stations that I have a diverse command staff so that we can relate to one another. I want to rebuild the stations to make sure that they're community friendly so I can host after school programs, that we can do athletic events, that the deputies get invited to the different school events. If you look at our African-American population on the department, we're only at 9%. That's embarrassing, at least for me. And I really want, through recruitment, I want to increase that to at least 12%, maybe even 15% if I can. But I need the help of the community to show that law enforcement is a good profession and you will be treated well. That's why I want to work on having more volunteers. I want to have a citizens academy. I really want to get the community involved so they see the other side of law enforcement. Because just as you're a family in the community, we're a law enforcement family too. And we go home to our families at night. This is just the chosen career field that we've chosen. But I need your support to say, you know, this is a good career field. These are good groups of people that you can work in. And whether it's law enforcement or whether it's professional staff, because I have 8,000 professional staff that are on this department. And there's so many jobs and opportunities. But I need the voices of, I need support, and that's through you, that's through my command staff. And then once I have different minorities within my department, I'm going to push to have them promoted, because we don't have enough individuals promoted. And if somebody doesn't have the skill set right now, I'll help them go back to school to get their degree, to find an interest in a specialized unit. My job as your sheriff is to invest in the community, invest in my employees, and invest in our residents. That's my job.
All right. Clarence, was your question answered? Do you have another statement, or you good?
Yes. First, let me just thank you again. Excellent answer. I did have one that slipped my mind, so if possible, I can come back later.
Amen. No problem. Without further ado, I'm going to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, please take the floor, Vera. You have a question or a statement for Sheriff Steinbrenner. Go right ahead, Vera.
Well, I just want to make a statement and just one question at the end. First of all, I just want to say thank you so much. Is it Steinbrenner? Steinbrenner?
You can call me Britta. Britta. You can call me Britta. It's easier.
Britta. Okay. Great. Okay. So I am really impressed with just listening to what your plans are for community-based policing, for the homeless, the men's jail, and how you are going to use funds and different resources for our community. And right now we need change. And change is moving and happening. So I am so happy to congratulate you early in advance I'm telling you, because this is what we need. The gun control is definitely out of hand, and the mental illness has really taken over, and everyone has something that they're going through. So in closing, your leadership and the actions that you're about to take or you're taking at this particular moment, I just give you a round of applause. But my question is, what are you going to do? Oh, and the children, that's great, the after-school programs. What are you going to do to enhance Neighborhood Watch in the community of Los Angeles, this county?
So the Neighborhood Watch programs are going to start with our patrol stations because we have 23. And so the captain is going to be going to those Neighborhood Watch programs. We're going to have signage. We're going to have topics of discussion. They're going to be organized, and I want them to be productive. And whether the captain can't be there or the lieutenant will be there. But I plan on attending several as my schedule allows. And then I want to work with the municipality. So we have our neighboring police department and to find out what's going on there and maybe invite guest speakers from the different cities over to our town hall meetings. Because really, it's all about sharing information and then having lessons learned and training. So these meetings aren't just about let's complain, but let's what can I offer you? There's an issue, a topic of concern. So maybe I bring in a guest speaker, and maybe these meetings are an hour or 2 hours. But I want the meetings to be productive. And if they're productive and the community gets something in return, they're going to attend and they're going to get more people, and I want that to grow. And that's also with the businesses, because really you have to share information and you have to get people prepared and ready and training, you know, self-defense, first aid. I want to be proactive in that respect as well.
Thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to raising that 9% to much, much higher. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Vera.
Okay, without further ado, thank you so much for answering that wonderful question. We're going to go to Linda Goldie. Linda Goldie, all the way out from Oregon. Linda Goldie, do you have a question or a statement for Sheriff Steinbrenner? Go right ahead.
Well, everything I've heard so far is just overwhelmingly enthusiastic and hopeful, and that's pretty much, you know, says it for me.
Thank you, Linda. And this is I thrive off of feedback like this because it shows that I'm on the right path. And how you see me today is how you will see me if and when I'm elected. I won't change. I haven't changed in 35 years, and I don't plan on it. So thank you for your vote of confidence.
You're welcome.
Wow. Well, without further ado, that takes me to Tawana Jones. Tawana Jones, take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Sheriff Steinbrenner?
Sheriff Steinbrenner, first of all, good morning again.
Good morning.
I have a statement. I just want to commend you, as everyone else has already. It's I listened. I came in to the second part, I believe it is, of your testimony, and in listening to what you had to say about mentorship, I'm a firm believer in villaging. Still, I still believe that it takes a village to raise a family and a community as well. So I thank you for reaching out to say that mentorship is not dead, that it is still necessary. And I wanted to ask what types of mentorship would be available and how to go about receiving the mentorship to get started with learning. Like, what would that look like?
So the mentorships would start at the community. The mentorships would start at the community centers for my different sheriff stations. So, for instance, East LA Sheriff Station. I'm going to bulldoze that building, rebuild it, and have that community flair to it so that people feel the warmth and welcome. Then there's going to be programs, after-school programs. I want to do some arts, drama for the kids. I have an amphitheater. East LA already has one where they can do shows, have community events together. Then athletic fields and then exercise equipment so that maybe basketball games or running or just learning how to use weights. But also not just having for the youth, but also for the seniors so that the seniors have a place to go to and they could have play some games, have some training, maybe watch a movie. But it starts with kind of bringing the community together and then having that encouragement to move to college and having representatives come from the different local colleges or maybe even out of state to get people motivated and then or the students motivated. And how do you, if you can't afford school, how do you go about getting scholarships? Because everybody assumes that you know how to get the scholarship, but it's a very detailed, lengthy process sometimes. And then having guest speakers and training scenarios there and first aid and whatever the topic is, and barbecues. It's really, it's changing how law enforcement is working. Yes, we have to enforce the law, but there's a spirit of the law and the letter of the law, and the spirit of the law is helping the community to get better. And that's my basis to start with, and then reaching out to the community, having that ability to call us and get a real person at the other end to say, hey, this is what I think should be a topic. So I want to have community liaison deputies that are out in the community that get that mm-hmm. feedback, and we put a plan together. It's almost like a curriculum. And I know of a lot of instructors, retired teachers that want to come back and partner with law enforcement and have after-school programs. So that's the start, and you have to start somewhere, and then from there it'll grow.
Now, Talana, okay. Did she answer your question? Did you have anything else, a statement or anything else, Talana, before we go close out of this?
I just think that speaks wonders. Mentorship really goes a long way, and I believe that is a foundation for change. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, Sheriff Steinbrenner, this is just a joke. I'm going to turn the fire down off the stove now, okay, everybody? We're going to turn the stove down now all the way down. You know, pretty hot in the oven there, boy, but you came out like, you know, Meshach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't even get burned when they went in the fire. So you did a great job. Thank you so much. Let's give a very, very big hand for Sheriff Steinbrenner right now. Let's give her a big hand. Now, I want to thank you so much. As we begin to go into our regular segment, we have Words of Wisdom with Talana Jones. We have Health and Wellness with Vera Jones. We have Aretha Adams Jones with Mental Health and You. We have Clarence M. Allen with Regulate the Manual. You don't want to miss it. And last but not least, we have Professor Reams, who will be doing our commentary, and I'm quite sure it will be very articulate. You don't want to miss it. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights, and we need to stand up for something or we'll fall for anything. We need to be about our justice and our equality, and I don't want you to forget that George Floyd's anniversary of his death is going to be on May the 25th of 2022, May the 25th in a couple of days. And I wanted to bring it out today because, you know, Monday's next week, and I want to talk about it now. So remember not to forget that George Floyd didn't die just because. He died for a reason. But the reason led to a historic protest around the world. And hey, Minister Terry Herbert. Shout out to Minister Terry Herbert. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for all the great things that you say and the great prayers you send up. We appreciate you so much. I want to thank our very exclusive special guest, who is running for chief of the Sheriff's Department, none other than Sheriff Britta Steinbrenner. Thank you. Give us your closing remarks, but we really don't want you to go. We want you to hear the rest of it. But if you can stay, we would love it. But give us your closing remarks.
I would like to stay, so if I can, I will, as long as I can. But I just wanted to share that I'm a qualified law enforcement professional. I'm practical, I'm honest, and I'm natural. And I survived working in a male-dominated profession. And in the history of the Sheriff's Department, since 1850, when we first were established, we've never had a female leader. We've never had a female sheriff. We've never had a female candidate. So I'm hoping to open up the doors of opportunity for other women, because if you have a dream, you have to follow that dream. And don't let everybody tell you, no, you can't do it, because I had visions of being a captain by the time I finished finished with my career, and now I'm running for L.A. County Sheriff. And with that said, I'm going to lead by example, and I will partner with any person or any group that wants to bring their community and law enforcement together for the betterment of all, because all of us deserve to live in a community where you feel safe, secured, and welcomed, and that is my goal. But I can't do it alone. I need all of you, and I am so grateful for your support, for the questions, and just the opportunity for all of your viewers to hear who I am. Mm-hmm. And you have my cell number. You have my email address, Pastor Eddie.
Yeah.
So if there's other questions that come along, please reach out to me, or if you want me to come back again, I will. This is a very important election, so I need everyone to do their homework, and hopefully I am the candidate that you will support, because I will be supporting you 110%. So thank you
so very much. Wow. Let's give another big hand for our special guest, Sheriff Britta Steinbrenner.
Thank you
so much. Wow. And just want you to know, everybody on our show right now, let's shout out, Cousin V is on. You know, I want to shout out Cousin V. We love you, Cousin V, all the way out there in Texas, and we send our love to you. So everybody send a shout out right now in your own words to Cousin V right now. Just shout her out.
Hello, Cousin V.
Hi,
we
Cousin
love
v.
you, Cousin V. Cousin V.
We love you. I'm actually wearing my purple today, Cousin V.
Yes,
I have purple
love
today.
You, Cousin V.
In memory of my cousin, Brandy Lamb, who, we just send our love right now. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Yes, and Minister Terry Herbert said, you're opening up doors. Sheriff Steinbrenner. So that's really wonderful. Really wonderful. Now, without further ado, it's time to go to our regular segment. We're going to start off with Tawana Jones with words of wisdom, words of wisdom. And then we're going to cool it off. We're going to have health and wellness with Vera Jones. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Here we go. Tawana, please take the floor. Without further ado, give us words of wisdom, words of wisdom.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome to Words of Wisdom. And I just want to send a quick shout out to the Jones family, to the Debbie family, and to our cousin Veronica, aka Cousin V. We love you. It's just a quick positive affirmation. I pray everyone enjoy. And it reads, the construction of life begins with accountability. 1,000 words will not leave a deep impression as one deed. One of the secrets of life is that all that life really is worth is doing what you do for others. Remember to always be kind to yourself and to others. Don't let go. And to also remember, don't get too busy making a living that we forget to make a life. God performs miracles every day. God bless and thank you.
All right, let's give a big hand for words of wisdom. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Needed to hear that. Needed to hear that. Now, right before we go to health and wellness, we are definitely going to go to Linda Goldie for a little poetry, because we're going to cool it down with just a little bit of poetry. They're sending all the hearts out. We're shouting you out, Cousin V. Yes. Hallelujah. without further ado, Linda Goldie, all the way from Oregon, take the floor and give us some poetry. Poetry in motion.
Well, this may not be the positive poetry you want to hear, but this is what I wrote yesterday. It's called Raw and Real. Okay. Some poetry is raw and real. It tells you what I see and feel. It tells you what I hear and think as an introduction to some small instruction. It's small because I am not tall and know that I must face the bullies that are bigger in this human race and still survive to stay alive. What now, I say, and give away whatever is excess because I keep on trying to make less mess before I'm dying. Still, I'm dying every day because some dream is shattered and trying to console myself as if it never mattered. If God looks down on me with some sympathy, it's because I know he knows what happens far below.
Wow, let's give a big hand for Linda Goldie with that poetry. We needed to hear some poetry. And guess
excellent.
What? Poetry.
Hey, Linda.
Poetry in motion. Now, we have plenty of time. We have plenty of time. Yes, we do. So without further ado, it is time for it's time for health and wellness. Health and wellness with Vera Jones. Vera, please take the floor. Give us health and wellness.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, everyone, for listening in to Health and Wellness, because this is something that we all need. But before I begin, I want to say happy birthday to my niece, Hottie. Happy birthday. Okay.
Oh, happy birthday,
happy though, today. Yes. So today I wanted to speak about this root vegetable that's really pure and it's very sweet. Now, this root vegetable is beet. Okay, so this is beautiful in color and it's a gift that's loaded with many medicinal properties. Now, I changed my palate as an adult because as a child, when my mom cooked them, I didn't enjoy them at all. But this particular root veggie is one that contains lots of fiber. I hear a lot of background noise at this time. Can you please mute your phone?
Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you.
I'll make sure that it's
okay.
Muted. There we go.
Great. Okay, so this vegetable contains lots of fiber. It's a great antioxidant. It has many vitamins, minerals, iron, folate, vitamin B9, which is good for cell growth, zinc, copper, and some of the benefits are, guess what? It protects our liver, and it's a great anti-inflammatory. It's also an aphrodisiac, and it stimulates our lymphatic system. Now, this is a fiber food, and it's one that assists our gut with digestion. Now, it also nourishes our hair follicles and our skin. And for the flow of blood and oxygen, it helps fight infection for our white blood cells. Now, this is also a brain, the heart food, and it helps to reduce fat in our body. Now, it also is great to lower our blood pressure. Now, ladies, now this is great for you because it is good for your uterus health. And men, this is a helper of goodness. Now, I'll just say that this root veggie opens up the blood vessels and it will boost libido hormones. Now, you could try this as a powder supplement or you can have it fresh. But if you do have it fresh, when you cook it, make sure you put in your gloves. And just know, don't be alarmed if your urine or your stool turns a little pink or red. It's good, and your body is working to detoxify and cleanse. Now, some may experience gas, while others may not. Now, don't forget to use the leaf. The leaf is great as long as it's not wilted. Now, the leaf itself is loaded with vitamin A, B, C, and K. And it's good, you can put it in your salad, like with your spinach, or you can saute it, and that is loaded with vitamin K. So what you can do in closing is you can boil them, juice them, grate them, put them on your salads, pickle them, or you can even make popsicles. Now, if you can, at the times that we have, please try and plant, grow this root vegetable, and enjoy what God has put here to nourish us. And that is my segment today on the beetroot vegetable. Amen.
All right, let's give it a big hand. Wow, that was really nice.
For Granny V. Well said.
that was really, really, really nice. Thank you very much, Vera. That was nice. Oh, wow. We needed to hear that. I'm going to give me some beet juice today. Well, without further
ado,
amen, I'm going to get some today. Yes, I'm going to go right down to the health food place where they make the drinks, and I'm going to get a vampire. That's the one with the beets in there and celery and carrots and all that good stuff. Without further ado, thanks, Vera. It's time for Regulate the Manual, Regulate the Manual. Without further ado, Clarence and Malin, please take the floor. Cousin V said, tell us about, but it didn't get finished. I didn't get to see the whole thing. Leaf can be cooked with, Minister Terry Herbert said that the leaf of the beet can be cooked with greens, and great info, she said. Sister Vera, thank you so much. So the next time I make some greens, and I make them at least twice a month at least, I will definitely get me some of those leaves from the beets, and when I get the beets, I'll just add the leaves on in my mustard and turnip greens with my fresh turnips and have a field day. Well, without further ado, Clarence and Malin, take the floor. Give us Regulate the Manual on this wonderful Monday.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and thank you to all my co-panelists, especially to all the listeners. We want to say we love you all. We thank y'all for coming on each and every week. We want to send a special welcome to our guest today. We are praying and voting for Sheriff to be Brenner Steinbrenner. I hope you're listening to this piece of this book that I've written titled Regulate the Manual. I'm going to finish up a segment with the gang bangers. You know, these are the street hard dudes where they're supposed to be, but today everything is not what it seems, and everybody's not holding up to the characters they're supposed to portray. But here we all go again. The times are quickly passing on by. The way of the world are changing quicker than a cat can wink his eye. I cannot stop emphasizing on many of these things that are within this manual. The days have long since come when the battle, in the wars between the large gangs in every city. The levels of play on the playing field in the battles and the wars are moving higher and higher. When will it blow its lid? Now we all are becoming blind to our own true lifestyles and the natural ways of living. We all have become hypnotized, and we are drowned out by the new lifestyles and the perverted ways of living. All the bright lights, the biggest cities, the money, the drugs, the sexist ways of the world, the funny cars, the bling bling, the haters, and the rest of you who are caught up by chasing the bright lights and the biggest cities, the men, the women, and nowadays it's the children who are leading the way. Keep on banging. Long as the gang members and the gang bangers continue with the gangs of shooting each other, those who really want you all eliminated, they are living the good life while you all act like ignorant fools. There are those who are happy that you are all doing some work for them. Wake up and peep the game. Now take a look at this. If you are gangbangers, this dude, that cat, and all the rest of the dogs who claim to be a banger, what is your problem? Do you all share the same claims to this fame? There's surely enough women, whiskey, money, weed, along with all the rest of the stuff that makes the world go round. There's plenty of whatever it is for everyone and certainly all of you. Or do the Triple OG and the rest of the real soldiers, do we always have to keep our eyes on you just because you are a snake in the grass and you are selfish and greedy? Listen up, son. Just because you never had all the things that you want and need, why do you think that you can handle it all in one bet? I don't think so. The Triple OG don't play that. How else do you think I fill up these shoes? You may need to go back to the drawing board and we learn how to get some things done in the old-fashioned ways. Work for it. You got to get your own book and read it, man. I can only give you bit by bit every week on the greatest Monday Morning Blog Talk radio show, the Eddie Jones Jr., Justice Jones Jr. to many of us, and to most of all, you. This book is written, and you are in here. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you to everyone who listened. I hope you got something from it.
Let's give a big hand for Clarence and Melanie. Big hand. Thank you, Brother Clarence. All right. Wow. And we want to keep the ball rolling. You and Eddie Jones. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And like I told you on our show, there's no smoking guns. It's the real deal. Holyfield. I was out yesterday after church. We all went to the Sizzler to get the salad bar. And we were all talking, and we were talking about God, and then somebody said, "It's the real deal, Holyfield," and everybody started laughing because they said, "Oh, we're talking about your show." So I was like, okay, that was a good joke, you guys. Without further ado, it is time for one of the most important parts of our show, but I want to give you the scripture of the week before we do that. Before we do that, I want to give you the scripture of the week, so get your pen and paper out. You might want to write this down. Our word of the week is selected. Hallelujah. The word of the week is selected. Sometimes you don't even look to be, but you are selected. You were selected. God selected you for whatever. Make that word applicable to your week, selected. Our scripture of the week is the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and 16. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, and it reads, "And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." And it says, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt." So our scripture of the week, write it down, is Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and 16. And without further ado, it is time for the commentary. Professor Reams, please take the floor. Give us the commentary.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. And once again, an excellent topic as usual. And of course, as you've mentioned before, dealing with the real deal, Holyfield, as we normally do each week on the show. And one thing about it is that the reason why the commentary is so important is because of the brilliance that all of us contribute towards it. My role as part of what I'm selected to do is simply to pull it all together and just highlight all of it, because actually I have a full page and a half, two, three, four pages of all these tidbits, and it gets very difficult to try and pull it all together because everything has just been so elegant. So with that in mind, moving forward, I want to thank Pastor Jones for the wonderful platform. As usual, everyone gets their 15 minutes of fame and also their opportunity to show what they're doing with the Lord and in their lives. And to a shout out to Cousin V, again, we love you and that we pray that for you as the days move on, and we'll be in touch to continue to support you in every way. Clarence Allen, the regulator, thank you once again for our prophet and providing us with the book that has provided such inspiration and an indication of how things are as the world is. To Dr. Granny V, the doctor, has been in the house. She has spoken, and that's closed part of the door of the limousine, especially with me going out and getting my beetroot vegetable meal, which I'll be starting as soon as possible. To Talana, once again, words of wisdom. You knocked it out of the ballpark, especially dealing with the overview of how and what we should be doing to take a step away from the everyday lives. Melanie Aubrey, a shout-out. Dr. Aretha Jones-Adams, a shout-out. And the Linda Goldie, as I tell you each week, I get my hug every time that I hear Poetry in Motion. And then also to our wonderful, wonderful guest, Sheriff-to-be Britta Steinbrenner, a superb presentation, which definitely has got my vote moving forward. And I've already, I have my ballot out overall. And as a reminder, everyone, now let's remember, we have the vote centers are open from May 28th to June 6th. From 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And also, if you are registered and you do have your absentee or mail-in ballot, get those in because we have tons of drop-offs all over the place. There is no reason why you cannot vote either by mail or in person. And, of course, Election Day is June 7th from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., so as a reminder. So what have we discussed for today? Today we have looked at every single issue that the Eddie Justice Jones program has been talking about for years. We talked about corruption in higher government. We talked about the jails and how the issues of the jail have been badly handled over the years. We talked about crime as the issue. Make of all the mass shootings we've seen, all of the, especially on honoring George Floyd and the protests, that definitely are going to be occurring as remembrance of what has happened. And then we've talked about homeless gun control. Also, the neighborhood and the building of trust within both the neighborhood and the police family. So both families need to sit down and talk. These are the issues that we have talked about. And let's remind us that this is a symptom of a larger problem, of a social problem that we're faced with. And it is also the issue, as both Clarence has mentioned, with the gang and gangsters, the idea of divide and conquer. Because as we have been said in the scripture, as we said last week, God doesn't make mistakes. But also this week, God has given us an assignment to do. And most, and Exodus is an excellent example, because to leave one place and to move to the promised land took a collective group of folks getting together, putting aside their differences while allowing them to vent and blah, 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 but just move forward in order to get to the goal and the assignment that the good Lord has placed in all of us. And so when we wake up in the morning and we're complaining and we're looking at, well, what's going on, everything like that, we also need to take a look at ourselves in the mirror and ask, are we helping the problem or are we causing the problem? Because most of us are the change that we're looking for, but it is the political will of taking action and just showing up and doing the work to get it done. Democracy is not a spectator sport. It is an active sport where everyone will be working and working just like the civil rights activists until their last dying breath, as we've learned from John Lewis, as well as from Ruth Bader Ginsburg and all the other examples of what's going on, because it's not what you acquired. It's not all the medals that you achieved. It is whether you made a difference in somebody else's life. And did you leave and do what God had assigned you to do in order to move forward? So this is where we tie everything in. Clarence Allen provided us with the book of Selfishness and Greed and how that works to divide and conquer. But Dr. Granny V reminded us that we have to be mindful of our health and our mental spirit, because that gives us energy to be part of God's plan and the direction that we're going to move in order to resolve the issues and the symptoms that I've just mapped out. Then we get to Talana, the words of wisdom of all life is doing for others, means the selfless instead of the selfish act of caring for our neighbors, for our sisters, for our brothers, for everyone overall. Our major superpower is when we work with each other and care about everyone. And the epitome of that occurred with our wonderful special guest of Sheriff to be Britta Steinbrenner, who started out in the department, worked her way up, had the vision of being a captain, and then has decided in the all audacity in this male misogynist society to take on the highest office in the land in order to do the assignment that the good Lord has asked us, bring us all together and remind us that she can't do it alone. We have to get together and work with her to resolve the issues of the corruption in the department, to deal with the jail, to address the crime problem, to deal with the homeless, to deal with gun control, and also to deal with how can we bring and develop trust within our communities through average school programs and the neighborhood watch. And it's with we, that predominant we, that allows us to know. And what God knows is what happens below is that when we work together, then we move together, then we are successful together in order to address what he has assigned us to do. And in doing so, everyone, get out there, and here's a simple assignment for you. This is your homework. Get out and vote, but before you do that, do your homework, because that's the first step in resolving these problems. The next step is be ready, because it's time to put on your armor, get out there, participate, and be involved to help when she gets elected to this office, Sheriff Britta Steinbrenner, to our vision come true. And that is what God is asking us to do in his infinite wisdom. And with that in mind, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
All right, for the commentary. All right.
For
the commentary.
Thank you, Professor Reed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Always goodness. Thank you, Professor Reed. Thank you. Amen.
Wow, wow. Let's see here. We're going to get some closing remarks one more time from our exclusive special guest. But before we do that, I just want, don't forget, the anniversary of George Floyd's death is coming up. Hey, Cousin V. Wow. 275th show. Thank you, Cousin V. This is our 275th show from Block Talk Radio. Yes, yes. Our 275th show. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. She said great commentary.
Always.
Want to shout out. What's up, Keith? What's going on, Keith? How you doing? We need to make these people accountable. Okay, so Keith, shouting you out, Brother Keith, all the way down there where you are, bro. Keep up the really good work. And, yes, but our vote does count. Our vote counts. So we still got to vote, because if you don't vote, then your vote didn't count at all. But if you vote, at least you know your vote still counts. And strength runs in numbers, you guys. So get to the voting polls on June the 6th. Don't let there be any excuses why you can mail in your vote right now. You don't have to wait. Yes, thank you, Minister. I want to thank Minister Terry Herbert for putting up all the information that we said on the show. She defined the word select. She also put the scripture in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and 16. And she put up all the information for the elections. So thank you, Minister Terry Herbert, for your support, for your unconditional love. And I love all my wonderful family, and everybody on this show to me is family. God bless you. And without further ado, Sheriff Steinbrenner, please give us some closing words. Go right ahead.
So I want to, from my heart to yours, thank you for all of your positive comments, for your questions, and just for your interest. That's how we're going to affect change, with you being interested and committed. So, yes, I'm so honored to be and have your vote. And just remember this. I want to be known for my policies of reform. Good morning. Being solution-oriented and my ability to work well with others. And these are three promises that I'm going to keep. And if you go to my website, you'll also see my policies. They're in print. And so that's what you're going to hold me accountable for when I'm in office. So I will continue to keep my doors of communication open And again, please know how special you are, all of you, and just for your motivation, your wisdom, your encouragement, and you are going to see change. And I hope to have that change take place on June 7th when the actual election and all the ballots are going to be counted. And you will hear back from me. And again, I wish you all a wonderful day and very, very honored to be able to be with all of you here today. And Pastor Eddie, a big hug to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Now we want to get you back on right after the elections are over. We want to get you back on. Will you come back? Okay,
absolutely.
Praise God. Everybody, let's give a big hand. Yes? I heard somebody say something. Go right ahead.
We want to get her back on before the election.
Okay, we'll see about that next Monday. Without further ado, go right ahead. Were you going to say something, Sheriff?
However your schedule works, I will always make time for you. So thank you.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah.
Now, here's the deal, you guys. I say this every Monday, and I'm going to say it today. No matter what you do, remember that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Now, what else? What else? Strength runs in numbers. Strength runs in numbers. So go out and vote. Remember that the only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. But here's the deal. Here's the real deal, Holyfield. Don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. We'll be here next Monday. God bless you. God keep you. To all my people on Facebook Live, I love y'all. I always will love you. Keep me in your prayers. I'll keep you in mine. And remember, again, the best is yet to come. Thank you for all the hearts, y'all. You guys are too much. I love y'all. God bless y'all. Peace. Peace.
Amen.
To everybody on Blog Talk Radio, here's the real question. The real question is, hey, Vera and everybody and all the my family, what's going on? What's really, really going on?
The Eddie Jones Radio Talk on Monday mornings, 9 to 11.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find to bring some loving here today. For only love is on the head. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and tears here today. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Everybody, everybody.
Right.